Jason won that match against Shane, and Shane's a king, and he went up and stood in his chair. You don't stand in the king's chair.
Yeah, what do we got tonight?
We have a podcast. It might not be a good one, but we have one. Here we are. Rob, we're back.
Are we on the air?
Yeah, we're on the air. Why not? What else
would we be doing? Holy Rocky. You got to give me some morning. Warning.
That was smart. Well, we got to get this knocked out right away so that you can watch your precious Packers win/lose tonight.
Yeah, I don't know what they're going to do. I honestly, if I had $1 million to bet, I'd put it all on the Vikings tonight.
You can't do that.
No, Kirk Cousins, if I had a million dollars.
Kirk Cousins like 0-45 billion on like primetime games.
Yeah, whatever. I just think from what I'm seeing, I think they got a better team than we do.
Well, I might not disagree with you there, but I mean, they don't have Dalvin Cook, and Kirk Cousins
is Cook not playing tonight?
Dalvin Cook is not playing, and it seems like Kirk Cousins is a choke artist, which is a bummer, because I actually liked him with the Washington franchise.
Cousins is on a roll, like, what's his name for the LA team,
Jared
that Rams
Goff.
That one year. He was just incredible. Or the Chargers, whatever.
Philip Rivers?
Oh, man. He just played like a god.
This Rivers. Is riveting podcasting. Like, I'm sure everybody is already, like, tuning off and like, we'll just skip this one this week. This one isn't going to be important.
Oh, are we on the air right now?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no. Well, we got to cut all that.
Oh, nonsense. What? Why not? Why not leave it? Who cares?
Okay, what do we have this week?
Okay, let's jump in.
Let's talk pool, man.
Yeah, let's do that. What do we have in the beginning? I guess we don't have a ton. I ordered a bunch of new t-shirts. Rob, would you like to tell everybody how your little Finland shenanigans went?
I think there was one person that got in touch with us from Finland.
We have a Finland listener.
Cool. And now we're going to send him a t-shirt free of charge.
We are going to send him a t-shirt. It is going to be fun.
Yeah. Oh, I'm so happy.
So Rob, you owe us a t-shirt, and I'm going to totally butcher this person's name, so I'm sorry in advance, but I think it's Sami Siraho. I think that's probably wrong. I don't speak.
Spell his last name for me.
S-A-A-R-I-H-O.
Siraho.
That's what I thought. Maybe. Who knows?
Yeah, because S-A-A-R-I is sorry. Siraho. It's got to be.
I hope so.
Yep. Pretty sure. Because we have a lot of S-A-A-R-I, Saris up in northern Wisconsin, up in Iron County and Bayfield County.
Oh, all right. Cool.
Superior. There's a few families of Saris up there. It's a large Finnish population between Iron River, Wisconsin, and Poplar, Wisconsin. Just in case anybody in the world wanted to know. It's the little Finland. Of Upper Wisconsin.
If our initial conversation on the Packers and Vikings didn't get people, sitting on the edge of their seats with excitement, I'm sure that did.
Yeah, I have a fondness for Gullamoyaka.
I have no idea what that is.
Anybody in Finland, of course, knows what I just said. It's fish soup.
Oh, well, I guess Sami does.
Yeah.
Sami gets my shout-out for the week, too, just because he makes Rob have to hand me money so that I could ship your t-shirt. That just makes me happy whenever Rob hands me money.
Yeah, in fact, the check's in the mail.
The check is in the mail. Seems like the check is probably not in the mail since you don't actually know where I live.
I don't have your address, no.
That makes
I don't really
tough.
Know much about you, except that you're kind of a mathematician weirdo. Yeah, because to be a mathematician in the first place, you got to be a certain kind of, deal. And I think you're there, buddy. I think you got the bill.
I'm not really sure how to take that.
Wow. It's a compliment.
How about while I decide how to take this?
It's a compliment because there's very few mathematicians. I just talked to a guy the other day whose son-in-law is an electrical engineer, and he took the SAT test to get into school, and he didn't get any wrong.
That seems
I didn't know that was possible.
I guess I've never taken the SAT. I've taken the ACT, but I've never taken the SAT, so I don't actually know.
Yeah.
I'm not familiar with that test or how.
I'm not either, but he got 100% on it.
What are you doing wrong with your life?
Oh boy, can't tell you.
You can't even figure out Facebook.
I have most of the time. I have a little indigestion all the time.
Huh. Well, that's unfortunate.
From thinking too much.
Oh, well, that's interesting.
It works backwards. You know, I get all that input from outside coming in to my head, and you got to sort it out. Well, I think some of it gets stuck.
Oh.
You know, and then I don't feel good. I feel sick to my stomach then.
It sounds like a personal problem. This isn't a counseling therapy for you. So we're just going to have to move on from that. We just can't deal with your problems here, Rob. So, Rob,
you're the enemy.
Rob, my shout-out goes to Sami. Who does your shout-out go to this week?
Sami, yeah. Way to go, Sami. Way to go. You can get a T-shirt.
Yeah, wait for existing in Norway.
I'm paying for it, buddy. Just keep playing pool. You suggested a local guy. So in case any local people are listening to this, I'm going to shout out to Mike Smith, who's the president of our local pool league and does all the paperwork and keeps all the stats. And he's doing a nice job. He's a conscientious kind of guy, likes pool. And so thanks a lot, Mike. You got my shout-out this week, Mike Smith.
Yeah, it's always nice to...
unusual name.
Yeah, it's always nice to give some acknowledgement to the people that kind of do the work behind the scenes to make things happen, especially if they're not in a paid role and they kind of do it as a volunteer thing. I know that's not always super common, but they do exist. And it's always nice to show that those people kind of working behind the scenes to make everything flow well, some appreciation. I guess with that, I can move on and say that I did order some more T-shirts. And if you are a listener from Wisconsin and you've wanted to get a T-shirt, but you just never have, I think I'm going to have a booth this year at the state pool tournament. So you will be able to swing by and get a T-shirt if you want, or just swing by and give some gentle criticism or harsh criticism. I tend to cry easy, so try not to make it too rough unless you want to, you know, watch me cry, which is a bummer. But yeah, I'll be there. And Rob, I'm trying to convince you to go. Maybe you will, maybe you won't. You said you hate talking to people, so. Maybe.
Well, I don't really, on the phone, I don't mind talking to people, but when I have to look at them, then I run into a little trouble. I know, but on the phone it's okay because you don't really see them, and you're so far away they can't grab you by the throat, you know, and choke you till the lights go out.
Sounds like you had a tough childhood.
That's what I really have problems with.
And now we're getting down to
it. Not so much talking to people; it's their reaction from what I say, and sometimes it ain't pretty.
And now we're getting down to that armchair psychiatrist thing again. We just got to get away from that with you.
Okay. Okay. I like it though. I like thinking about why. I like the whys, and sometimes better not to think about why. Of course, in pool, you know, it is. You got to have some why in your game. Why? Why am I doing this? You know. I mean, there's no. There's got to be a reason why.
Yeah. So I guess I don't have anything else in the beginning to get cleared up. Is there anything that you would like to get cleared up before we jump in?
Well, there was a post the other day that I read about pool, and actually it was on the pool players' website, and it wasn't political. It was about pool, so that made me kind of happy. And it was a fellow who was just learning how to play, and he said, anybody out there who's getting any ideas for me, you know, I'm interested in learning how to play this game and what kind of helpful hints. So today I'm going to try to think of something that's really raw, you know what I mean? Not intricate, not involved, not hard to imagine or picture, but something really simple. And see if I can, that would be my, whatever our helpful hints are. Or tidbits.
Your tip for the day?
T- tips, two tips, yeah. Randy Lamar, two tips.
Yeah. Okay. That sounds like a something to look forward to. And I guess with that, we can just jump right in.
How are they hitting them this week?
We had
the international, right?
Yeah, we had the women's world nine ball and the men's world nine ball. So that was actually pretty fun getting to see some of that.
The world nine ball.
Yes,
the world. Was that over in?
Yeah. So this was held in Doha, Qatar, and I think by now most people probably already know that Fedor Gorst was the champion of this. And this is kind of actually fun because this is the first major championship won by a carbon fiber cue. When I heard that, I was actually pretty surprised by that because I feel like by now somebody would have won by a carbon fiber.
Yeah, but I would have thought so.
Nope, this is apparently the first one, and Fedor Gorst.
But did John have a carbon fiber in his straight pool run?
Did he have a carbon fiber? I actually don't know.
It was a black shaft. I remember that because I saw it once. I don't know if it's carbon, but it had to be if it was black.
Yeah, it was. He's represented by a Predator, so it would have been a Revo if it was. But for some reason, I was thinking he was playing with a Z3 shaft when he broke the record. But I mean, I could be wrong on that. I guess I'm not really sure. You're putting me on the spot, and my memory is failing me. I'm not totally sure. I'm sure someone will reach out, or I'll find out. And
he's just a kid.
Yeah, Fedor's only 19 years old. What were you doing at 19? I bet you weren't winning giant world nine ball titles.
I won the first time I went to the Nationals that night. That was 18, really.
Did you win it?
No, I came in 7th and 8th.
Oh, that's pretty good still.
Yeah. And then I went into service after that, but that was
yeah.
That was the first year out of high school.
Yeah. Well, yep. Fedor wins. Second place goes to Jungling Chang. Third, fourth goes to Koping Chung and Lu Haitao. Fifth through eighth goes to Alex Pagulayan, Do The Keen, Pinyi Ko, and Casper Matakanyan. And we can even go back to the last. We can even go through 9 through 16, because there are just some absolute monsters.
Read them. You got them?
Yeah. 9 through 16th goes to Albin Ocean, Francisco Sanchez Ruiz, Nayuki Oi, Billy Thorpe. Good tournament for Billy. Always good to see the Americans in there. Unfortunately, he was the only one. Ruslan Chinnikov, Waleed Majid, Aloysius Yap, and Matsuez Sinikaki. Not totally. Definitely pronounced that one wrong.
Yeah, well, maybe he'll call you.
Yeah.
And give you the. I've always been amazed at that. You know, like sportscasters and stuff. That I wonder if they practice some names. You know,
they have to.
Guys who call the baseball games and the football games and hockey games. If they get some of these names right, that they got to research if they get the names right.
Yeah, I would assume that they would.
Where we don't do that kind of thing because we're little guys.
Yeah, right. Yeah, we don't have to worry about actually being accurate on anything. We can just fake it till we make
it.
Yeah. So I don't have too many takeaways from this. I mean, the field, it's crazy. Kind of going.
How much did he win for first in this world 10 ball tournament? Right? Is that what it was?
So it's actually the first place prize for this was only $30,000. I say that like it's not a big amount of money, which I guess by the time you throw travel and everything in there, it's actually necessarily not that much. And then the total prize fund was about $150,000. So, and this probably goes to what Tyler was talking about on his post and why he wasn't going to go over there. $30,000 is a lot of money, but that's for the winner. There's, you know, a ton of some of the best players in the entire world that are going to this event, and they're probably losing money just to go to it. What if first place is $30,000? I'm guessing, let's say 9th through 16th is probably a couple thousand. That's maybe breaking even if you pay for an air flight and your hotel and food and stuff while you're down there. That probably breaks you about even 9th through 16th, and that's that's some of the best players in the entire world that you have to compete against to get to that point. That just seems like real tough action.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's what Tyler said, that it's pretty tough action to come away with any cash yet.
Yeah. I mean, hopefully...
The top four, really. But really, that's the way it is in most tournaments, right? The top four people.
Yeah.
I mean, you're going to go to a tournament. If you want to win some money, actually win some money, you got to come in fourth or better.
Yeah, and unfortunately, almost all of this is coming from an American's perspective, and obviously what it takes to get from America to the rest of these places. At this point, I guess we've kind of shown that we have some listeners from all over the place. So I don't exceptionally know the travel costs from Asia or Europe or anything like that. I know that once you actually get to Europe, the transportation in Europe is so far vastly superior to anything close to what we have in the U.S. It's really easy to get anywhere in Europe once you're there, usually. But I don't know what it's like to get outside of Europe if you're from Europe.
And quickly, too. Don't the trains travel like at 300 miles an hour?
That, I don't think they go that fast. I think that's...
Oh, they don't?
I don't think... No, that's like... Maybe... I mean, some of them, I'm sure, do. I think that's right up to where, like...
Is there a train that goes under the English Channel?
I would assume that there is, because there's a road that goes under it. So maybe. I'm not really totally sure on that, but I would assume there would be one, or at least one that goes over it.
How long does it take you to drive under the English Channel?
Why are you asking me all of these questions that I have no idea? Maybe if you offer up another t-shirt to somebody who answers all these questions.
Well... All spring, the first person from Ireland.
Ooh, Ireland.
That hits you up, that gets a hold of the podcast, I'll buy a t-shirt for.
Well, now here's a question for you. Is it Northern Ireland or is it Ireland? Because those are two different entities.
I don't care what religion you are. Any part of Ireland.
Any part of Ireland.
Yes.
Do they have to prove it with their accent?
I don't care. Any part of Ireland.
The Irish accent, I think, is getting way too picky. I'd love the Irish accent. I think it's my favorite accent in the entire world to just listen to.
You know, it's Christmas Eve tomorrow.
It is Christmas Eve tomorrow. Today's Hanukkah as well.
That's yesterday, right?
Hanukkah started yesterday at sundown. So, well, there you go. The first person from Ireland, you now get a t-shirt too. Rob, you're just going crazy. We can't let you do this. You're gonna end up spending all of your retirement fund on
t-shirts.
That's
okay. I got Social Security. Thank God. Thank God for so a little bit of socialism. Doesn't hurt. Ooh. As long as you have a little bit of it.
So there you have it. Yeah, I guess that's a. I guess I don't really have anything else to say about the World Nine Ball. Do you?
I wish I had something more to say about it.
But you don't. That is the answer that you have. So we can also talk about the women's nine ball. And
that was a world tournament too?
That was. And this one has Kelly Fisher, the phenom from England, winning over Jasmine Ocean. So an all-Europe final.
Wow. Nice.
And Rublin Amit gets fourth place to... Zoe Dudu, I don't know if I pronounced that right. I most certainly did not, but it's D-O-U-D-O-U.
Kelly Fisher's playing some great pool. She won here over at the tournament over in Wausau, too.
She did. Yeah, she is playing very well. It is. It's crazy the amount of Chinese women in the finals. In the final,
it's amazing.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. In the final eight, five of the final eight were Chinese women's players.
Yeah. Yeah, I believe it.
It's crazy.
I believe it. Well, they start younger. They start to play younger. They, you know.
And eight of the final 16. So half of the final 16 were Chinese women.
Yeah, and of course, if they're playing over there, that's, you know, it's a little easier for them to show up.
Yeah, of course.
So there's going to be more in the field. But still, I mean, you look at professional golf, you know, the amount of Asian players in professional golf now. Japanese, Korean,
yeah,
Chinese, You know, so they're just and three cushion billiards. Look, you just have a lot of Vietnamese players in three cushion billiards, and of course Korean champion players. Yeah, they just get the kids get involved. I think it's a national thing. It's like ping pong, you know, pool. Let's have it be a national sport.
Yeah, I think the Chinese government takes care of them a little bit better too. It helps them with funding more than the U.S.
Nothing.
Government. Yeah, the U.S. government doesn't help at all. So I mean, that's
no nothing. There's nothing.
Yeah,
nothing for sports.
Congratulations to Kelly Fisher and Jasmine Ocean for their great finishes at this event. And
I just watched Jasmine play and Kelly play over here in Central Wisconsin. They both played great. It was fun to watch them both.
Yeah, they play so good. They play just so pure. They have such great strokes, and just the mechanics are just close to flawless. It's a pleasure to get to watch. So I guess those were the only two big matchups that we will talk about. I'll give a tiny shout out to Cody Myers, who won a gambling match recently. I don't think he's a listener to the podcast, but I guess I'll do it anyways because they played for best 2 out of 3 sets, raced to 21, and he ended up winning on the last set, being down kind of big in that last one. So Cody, you can have a shout out. So I guess with that, we can move on to what's coming up because we have a good one this week.
Okay, let's hear it. Then maybe I can get excited.
Well, I'm going to sell you, and if I don't sell you, then you do not have a pulse or you're not a pool fan. All right, are you ready, Rob?
Yep, let's go.
December 27th through the 29th in Wichita, Kansas at Club Billiards, Alex Olinger is playing John Mora on the Barbox 7-footer 8-ball race to 100. It is all being streamed by Pool Action TV, with Ray Hansen and the awesome work that he does over there. So you should probably...
You think Austin Hill will be there?
Austin Hill will be there.
Oh, boy.
You gonna geek out when you see him in the crowd?
I don't know.
We'll just hear him in the corner probably.
I'm certainly a fan.
Yeah, we'll probably just hear him in the corner barking for action. Did I sell you? Are you excited yet?
Yeah. Can I pretend... Oh, boy, Nate.
Yeah, that was really bad.
Yeah, that was pretty bad.
Yeah, I would rather you just not care. Just don't care. Well, I don't care, Rob. I am excited because this is just going to be so much fun. I love some good bar box action. And, you know, it's
you know what?
It's easy to relate to as a bad
player. If you could come
to
my house sometime and set up so I could watch all this stuff, even if I have to pay for it, on my TV set instead of on my computer, I would probably be more enthusiastic.
Well, I could probably make that happen.
Yeah.
It seems like that wouldn't be too tough. Do you have a smart TV?
Yes, we have a smart TV, and we're getting a new smart one for Christmas.
Is this one going to be smarter than the last smart one?
This one's pretty smart. TV's Ooh. Pretty smart.
How smart? What's its IQ?
It's got all kinds of plugins in the back.
Oh. Is it the smartest guy in the room?
I took, there was an IQ test to take on Facebook the other day.
Did you score a 50?
No, I scored way in up, way, 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 way up. Way up.
Way so up. 65?
I don't know everything there is to know. So Johnny Mora, great player, and Alex Olinger. Couple of great ones there. I mean, these are top. I know Alex is a bar box player, so he plays lights out on valleys. Let's see what he does on a diamond bar box.
Oh, he plays just as good as on.
And Johnny Mora, he probably grew up though on big table. He probably grew up on snooker tables. I'm thinking.
Yeah,
growing up in Canada.
John Mora is like just. He's just so well-rounded. I mean, he can do everything, and by everything, I mean literally everything. I mean, he can shoot left-handed just as good as he shoots right-handed. So, I mean,
oh, really? Can he?
Well, I mean, he shoots left-handed now. He made the switch over to being completely left-handed after playing right-handed for the first 20 years of his pool career.
Have you ever met anybody that plays lights out one-handed pool?
No.
Free air, no table, can't rest a stick on the table?
No, I mean, that's just such a gag thing. Like, that's just like a gambling thing. Like, the people who get good at that are just trying to, like, gamble at it. And they're, I don't know, there's no practical use for it besides I'm in gambling. So I don't see the point of ever getting good enough at it to being, you know, worth talking about it.
Yeah.
But that's just me.
I knew a guy that could lean over the table to a ball in the middle of the table and hold his stick like a spear and shoot balls in and draw the cue ball back.
That seems like something that would take way too long to get good at.
Yeah.
And if that guy would have
Peter Williams.
If that guy would have just dedicated half Duluth, that time. If that guy would have just dedicated half of his time to being a good player, he probably would be like on the Moscone Cup.
Oh, he was a champion. Peter Williams was a champion player. Hmm. All the Williams brothers were. Yeah. Peter, Johnny, Roman, and Teddy.
Yeah. Well, Rob, back on topic. What's your prediction for this? What do you think will happen?
We talked about this, and I'm picking Alex. And you like Alex, too, but you're going to take John just for our bet.
Yeah, what do you think the score will be?
Oh, my, oh, my, oh, my. I think the score is going to be 100 to 87.
Ooh, that's...
Alex.
That's a big gap.
No, 13 games. I ain't that big.
Oh, that's 13%.
But I think...
For a player like John Mora, that's a lot.
And now, is this take what you make or just make one and take anything you want?
I don't see where it's take what you make, so I'm going to assume that it's just
because that's going to make a difference. Somebody's going to run over 10 at a time, maybe both guys. But if it's take anything you want, somebody's going to run over 10.
Yeah,
and it's going to win, probably.
Yeah, it's a significantly more difficult game when you're when you have to
take what you make. If you run 10, you've really accomplished a miracle in 8 ball.
Yes, you break the balls fantastically to where both balls are always an option. And that's really tough.
You get 7 or 8 in a row in that game, and you've really got you've done something uncomparable practically.
You run a 3 or even a 4 on a take what you make, and that is tough.
Right.
That is really tough. A 4-pack on that is oof.
Right, but these guys, you know, these guys are capable of pushing 15, maybe even more in a row with taking anything open table after the break. If you just make a ball, I definitely think it's possible. They get on a roll, and if they start breaking good, you know, controlling the cue ball and breaking good, this is like taking candy from a baby playing 8 ball on a bar table.
Yeah, 15 is a little bit more than I would think that they would be able to do, but I don't.
Yeah, you can though. I mean, what's your high run?
Oh, my high run in 8 ball is 7. But yeah, I mean that's also. I guess I'm talking specifically this. I bet that there's a 10-pack ran between the two of them somewhere along the line.
Yeah,
at least probably like an 8 to 9, 10 maybe. But I bet there's probably 5 fours. 5 fours,
oh, sure.
5 fives, something like that.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
that'll
be good.
Yeah, oh yeah, definitely. I'm really excited for this one. So if anybody wants to get this, you can head over to Pool Action TV and you can get the stream. I always highly advise to watch as much as 8 ball in the bar box as you possibly can, just because it's kind of just the most applicable to most of our games. Most of the people who are going to listen to this podcast, and most of the people who really just play pool, it's usually on an 8 ball. It's usually 8 ball, and it's usually on a bar box. Whether it's, you know, league play or most tournaments, it's, you know, this is the most applicable to most people. So I think this is where you can really, really learn. And unfortunately, I don't think Jeremy Jones is going to be there to commentate for this. But you know, whoever Ray Hansen gets, usually they're pretty good in the box, and you know, there's always some good things to learn. So this would be a great one to get out and watch Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Yeah. Playing 35 the first day, 70 the second day, and the third day will be to finish out the 100.
Okay, I'll try to watch some of this.
Yeah,
so I can at least have a couple of cents worth.
Yeah. And I can
talk about it.
I suppose I should give my prediction since I haven't either. I think that Alex – I've actually – in the beginning, I thought Alex was going to win. And I think I've come full circle on it. I think John's going to end up winning, and I think John's going to win about 194. So that's my prediction, is John 100 to Alex 94. And the only reason I switched over to John is Alex kind of had his hands full with Shane Winters. And if you just compare that to, you know, Shane Winters to John Mora, there's a talent gap there. So I've come around full swing to taking John, unfortunately. Although I really, really do like Alex. Actually, I like both of them. They're both very nice. But, yep, there's my prediction. All right. The last thing we can talk about before moving on is there was actually another big matchup that's been announced for next month. This is a big one-pocket matchup, and this is between Francisco Bustamante, Rob's favorite player, and Corey Duell. And this is also looking to be a pretty good one. And this one is going to be January 10th through the 12th, and it's going to be a race to 30. So we'll talk more about that one, obviously, once we get closer. But you can all mark down your calendars for January 10th because there is a big one-pocket matchup that should be a pretty good one. So I guess with that, we can move on to the end of the podcast. So I know that before the Moscone Cup was going to happen, I had said that I was going to basically do some sort of Moscone preview and just kind of go over the history of what the Moscone Cup was and is. And it just never worked out to where I was able to do that. I decided to, instead of just do like a bland kind of reading of the history, I thought it would be a better idea to maybe do like a trivia. And I was supposed to get on a couple people to do the trivia with me, and the plans just fell through. So I still have all of that trivia. And Rob, do you want to be my guinea pig to answer all of my trivia questions?
I won't know anything. I didn't even hear the Moscone Cup till a couple years ago.
Well, that's boring. You want to try them anyways?
But I don't care. Yeah, I don't care. Go ahead.
This could be for the listeners too. So, if you're as a listener, if you want to post your honest score at the end of this to the Queue It Up discussion page, and just see who wins. Let's see who can get the most of this by just, you know, base knowledge, no research, no cheating. There's no prizes, but I think it could be fun. So, question number one, and these will all be USA questions. Three U.S. states have had four unique players. Can you name those three states?
Ask that question again.
So three U.S. states have had four unique players represent them at the Moscone Cup. What are those three states?
South Dakota, California, New York.
California is correct. South Dakota has only had one, and that was Shane. The other two answers are Texas and Illinois.
Yeah.
So California, Texas, and Illinois. Which U.S. state has had the most representatives that aren't necessarily unique? So just the most times being represented by the state.
Well, it's got to be one of those three.
Oh, seemingly.
Yeah. Illinois.
It is California.
I wanted to say California, too.
Kentucky has had three representatives at the Moscone Cup. Can you name them?
Oh, my. Kentucky.
One's easy.
He was a straight pool player. With curly hair.
Nick Varner.
Yeah, Nick Varner.
Nick Varner's one of them.
Yeah. Let's see.
There's one easy one. You should be able to get him.
Nick Varner. Mike Siegel?
No.
Okay. Yeah, I know that's where. Sky?
It is Sky. Sky is number two. And the third one is Shannon Dalton.
Shannon Dalton. Yeah, great player.
Yes. So five players.
Love his style. So smooth.
Yes. Question number four. Five players have represented the U.S. 10 or more times. How many can you name?
10 or more times. Well, how far back are we going?
The entire history.
Okay. Well, let's go back. Let's go to Varner.
Varner, we'll go to Varner is not one of
Strickland.
Them. Strickland is one of them. Earl Strickland is one.
Yeah. Let's go to Mike Siegel.
Mike Siegel has not been on the team 10 times.
He's not been on the team 10 times. I'm just drawing a blank. Player from South Carolina.
Johnny Archer.
Or Georgia.
That's Johnny Archer, I think you're thinking of.
Yeah, Johnny Archer. That's what I'm thinking of, yeah.
Johnny Archer. Yeah. Earl Strickland are two of them.
Corey Duell.
Corey Duell is a third. There's another really obvious one.
Well, Shane.
Shane Van Boning is another one. And the last one? He is the lone Hawaiian representative.
Oh, Rodney.
Rodney Morris. There you go. That's all of them. Okay, question number five. Six U.S. players have competed and coached in the Moscone Cup. Can you name any of them?
So competed and coached.
Yes. Not always Archer in the same year. Not always in the same year.
Yeah, Archer's one.
Johnny Archer is not one of them.
Come on. I know he had to coach.
Did not.
Play and coach.
According to what I'm seeing online, Johnny Archer was not a coach. Mike Siegel was not a coach.
Oh, come on. Then I don't know. I'm stumped.
Charlie Williams. Nick Varner. Yeah. Kim Davenport, Mark Wilson, C.J. Wiley, and Jeremy Jones.
C.J. Wiley was the one I was thinking of. I couldn't think of his name.
Yep, and then Jeremy Jones is the last one. Last question for the U.S.
Yes, great players, aren't they?
They are.
Jeremy Jones, Dennis Hatch, all that era, C.J. Wiley.
So,
Kim Davenport, oh my goodness. Yeah.
So that is we'll wrap it up there with those, and we will have more trivia next week. We'll tackle Europe next week. I bet you're excited.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I'll do just as good there.
So I guess with that we can use that as our discussion. That'll be fun. Well, we can move on from there. Do you have any tidbits you'd like to give
us? Well, I just got a couple. I found a job helping a one-armed typist type capital letters. It's just shift work.
Ah, I see what you did there.
Yeah. As a scarecrow, people say I'm outstanding in my field. But, hey, it's in my genes.
That's really bad. That's, like, really, really bad. That's terrible.
You know that? Did you know, Nate, that teamwork is very important? Because it helps put the blame on someone else.
Yeah,
Yeah.
We've all been there where we blamed our partners. Yep.
My girlfriend often laughs at how competitive we are, but I laugh more. Okay, here we go. Of course, I talk like an idiot. How else could you understand me?
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, really,
That seems particularly appropriate for, like, this day and age.
Bring you down to my level, buddy.
Yeah.
You know, there's no need to repeat yourself. I ignored you just fine the first time. Did you know, Nate, that a boiled egg is hard to beat?
Ah, I did know that.
And writing with a broken pencil is completely pointless.
Your tidbits are getting cornier by the
day. And don't trust Adams, Nate. They make up everything.
There you go. For all the scientists out there, you can.
I'm reading a book about anti-gravity. It's just impossible to put down.
Yeah. Terrible joke.
Okay, wait a minute. There's a couple more. When a clock gets hungry, does it go back 4 seconds? Get it?
I don't get it.
Does it go back 4 seconds?
When it gets
4 seconds. Second helpings or 4 seconds. Seconds on the clock. Get it? When
That's
a clock
terrible.
Gets hungry, does it go back 4 seconds?
Well, shouldn't the joke be if when a clock is still hungry, does it go back 4 seconds?
Okay, here. I asked my North Korean friend what it was like to live there. He just told me he couldn't complain.
Aw. there's an next. If Ireland calls your bluff and they're able to get a T-shirt too, your next one's gonna have to be North Korea. I think you can probably win that one.
Yeah, I don't know. I would say South Korea. We'd have a better shot at.
Well, is that it? Are those all of them?
Well, yeah, and my anti-gravity is working because I can't even put this down.
That's terrible. It was terrible the first time, Rob. It's terrible now. It's just awful. Just terrible.
I'm going to go read these to my wife now. Make her just as sick as I made you.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure she... You know, I feel bad for your wife. I bet the muscles in her eyes are like... I bet they could bench 400 pounds from just from spending all of the time rolling.
Nate just said on the podcast that he feels sorry for you.
Her eyes have got to be just the strongest in the world from rolling all the time, having to deal with you.
She says her life is always exciting with me because she never knows what I'm going to do next.
Oh, my goodness. You are just, you have that woman so brainwashed.
Yes, I know. It took me 30 years.
Jeez.
I work hard at it.
I'll have to have a talk with her when I come figure out how to use your TV.
Maybe. Maybe, right. Just maybe.
Well, let's wrap it up with some two tips. What do you got for us, Rob?
Okay, listen, this is, I just had that fella that he was a beginner, just wants one thing, just one thing to work on. And I'm going to tell you this, your eyes, they show you what to do with your body. And if you just use your eyes and your eyes have to remain still and open. So that means, well, you're trying to shoot that ball in a hole. Keep your eyes open and focus your eyes on a particular spot on that ball that you want to hit and just let your body do the rest. If you don't make the shot, then there's a problem with your body. And now you have to have somebody else or a mirror to figure out what that is. Another person to tell you what that problem, because your eyes should lead you to, if you're hitting that spot, if you can pick a spot out on a rail and hit that spot, then you can pick a spot out on a ball and hit it. So I just say, you know, let your eyes do the shooting for you. Hold still until your eyes see that ball go in the hole. That's it. Real simple.
That is actually a pretty good advice as far as like, if you can put a ball 7 to 8 foot away and hit a spot on the rail, you should be able to do the same exact thing for any ball. So if your mechanics are breaking down somewhere because you're shooting at a ball instead of the rail, that's actually pretty good advice to have, I think. It's hard to do that because it's kind of a boring exercise, right? Just shooting a ball at the rail. But, I mean, if you truly care about the game and you truly care about getting better at the game, I should say, that seems to be probably pretty good advice to take.
Yeah, let's hope so for the guy. Maybe he'll hear that.
Yeah, so my advice for the week is, and this is going to be kind of an obscene one, but I was teaching somebody how to jump the other day, or how I perceive the correct way to jump, and I was noticing that every single shot that they shot, by the time that they were getting over and they were actually like getting over the balls consistently, they were overcutting, or I guess hitting to the right side of the pocket every single time. And I was kind of noticing that, and they were hitting the same spot almost on the rail, but you know, basically like a two inch section of the rail just above the pocket, about 2 inches, and they were doing it consistently on every single shot. And after a while, I'm like, humor me, try this. And I just took their hand and I literally just moved it over about a quarter of an inch or something like that. And the first time they shoot, I told them to shoot it the same exact way. The first time that they shot, it went right into the heart of the pocket. They did it again. They set up normally. I moved their hand, and again, it was right into the heart of the pocket.
Yeah, it's mechanics then.
Well, I don't think it's that as much as it's. I think the fundamentals of the shot is what I thought was the difference there, and the act of being up on the stick and kind of shooting down into the table really messes with your line of sight, and it really. And this actually probably ties into what you were saying as well. You can't actually see necessarily that your hand is in line with the direction that you want the shaft to take. And just that elevation from being up on the shot, I guess, can really alter the way that you aim at a ball. And what we ended up having them do was basically just kind of compensate for that. I don't know, maybe you can do like you shoot like a normal shot and then you elevate. Maybe that would take care of it. But if you've always struggled with pocketing balls on jump shots, maybe that's something you want to set up like 10 length of the table jump shots and see if you're always missing to one side of the table or the other. And if you are, just moving your hand a little bit either way to compensate for where it needs to go. You know, you can't solve a problem that you don't know exists. So if you have problems pocketing balls consistently on jump shots, maybe that's something you want to try out. Just set up 10 balls and see what happens. So that'll be my advice for anybody who's struggling with jump shots out there.
Not bad.
Well, Rob, I want to thank a sponsor before we head out, but do you have anything else that you'd like to say?
I'm good, Nate. Have a nice Christmas, and all the listeners out there, have a happy holiday time and a happy new year.
Yeah, I will echo that. Happy holidays and Merry Christmas to everybody who's out there. And with that, I would like this week, they're not really sponsors, but I would like to thank all of the Q companies who have or are going to be sending me carbon fiber shafts and have made it very easy to work with, especially Q-Tech. They have been so good about it. I had a phone call recently with Kyle Nolan, who is a representative for Q-Tech, and we ended up having a really long, great conversation. And at the end of it, he was gracious enough to not only agree to sending the Synergy for testing with the rest of the carbon fibers, but agreed to send a Propel and a Breach as well for testing out. So, you know, how cool is that? You know, you kind of reach out to these Q companies, and I'll give a shout out to the rest of them here in a second. But you know, they kind of decided that it would be some good advertising and some good opportunities for not only their brand, but my brand as well. And they're willing to work with me on it. So it was awesome to be able to have that opportunity and with Q-Tech. And I will give a extra shout out to Q-Tech for being so easy to work with. And then the rest of the Q companies that also sent me one, which was OB Fusion in the OB Aftershock, which is sent by OB Qs. And they were incredibly easy to work with too. Jesse down there has been doing a great job with the kind of the kickstart, the revamping of the OBQs. And, you know, he was extremely easy to work with. I met with him in Moscone, and he's like, yep, don't worry about it. Just, you know, reach out to me after the Moscone Cup, and I'll send you two of them out there. So that was really awesome that they were easy to work with. And Peach Hour also sent me a listener sent in one of his Rogue Shafts. So shout out to Steven Dubas for sending me your actual personal shaft. So that was really cool of you. And then shout out to Peach Hour for sending me a butt to go with it. And then, of course, Rico Torres with McDermott sent me their Defy a long time ago. And I've been messing around with it quite a bit and getting it out to a lot of different people to try out. And those reviews are going to be happening somewhere in the future when I am able to get all of them and get a full testing done with all of them. So thank you for all the Q companies who not only made it easy to get your carbon fibers out there so that I can try them, but were just, you know, great to work with in the meantime. So thank you to all of them. And with that, Rob, we can close it out for another week.
Maybe you can save some of those for me to try out on my billiard table.
Well, whenever you make it down here, because you said you were going to, you're going to get to hit with them all you want.
Okay, let's plan on that pretty quick.
I think that would be great.
Maybe even this coming week.
Whenever you want, buddy.
Okay, I'll call you tomorrow.
All right, and with that, Rob, thanks for another week.
Good night, folks.
Hey everyone, thanks again for listening. If you like what you've heard and you listen through iTunes, please subscribe and leave a rating. It helps others find the podcast. As always, thank you to our sponsors, Jacoby Custom Cues, Cody's Q Therapy, Jeff Glaz's CBD for Life Global, the Wisconsin Billiards Hall of Fame, The Rocks Sports Bar and Grill, the IQ Practice Cue Ball, and the Wisconsin Pool Player Society. If you like what you hear, consider supporting the people who support the podcast. I would also like to take this time to thank Matt Kitzman, Robert Miller, Natasha, Kurt Elliott, Scott Doolian, Corey Smith, William Sutherland, and Mike Teasy for their help to market the podcast to a larger audience. Lastly, I would like to thank my cousin Andrew Mindham for his band Hey Captain Knight's music as segment and filler music to the podcast. If you like what you hear, you can find all of his music at heycaptainknight.bandcamp.com, and Knight is K-N-I-G-H-T.